mercy endures forever and ever and ever and ever. You know, I know that, turn to John chapter 4, we'll start there. That's not in the notes, but it's where we begin. We've been talking about worship, haven't we? Well, I've been talking about worship. I don't know if you all are talking about it, but I've been talking about a worship because that's what God's put on my heart. Right? But while we were worshiping today, I was thinking about all the people that I know that deal with depression. Right? Some in this room, some not here today. But depression, anxiety, it's real and it's on them. But I thought about it that, and this is the picture that the Lord gave to me. He said, you know, if somebody came into your house and started kicking your dog, you'd be all over them, right? You wouldn't allow that to continue. And sometimes we got to treat those thoughts as somebody coming into our house. And we've got to get all over them in the name of Jesus. Amen? Because those thoughts aren't yours. Those thoughts don't belong to you. Did you know that if you're in Jesus, He's not depressed? And I don't. I have compassion. You know, I've been there where times where it's like, oh God, you know. But other people just live in that. But we have to choose to say, no, devil, you're not taking me down that road, and I'm gonna fight you tooth and toenail, right? I mean, like, if I'm not strong enough to defeat that person that's kicking my dog, I'll grab a 2x4, right? And if that won't work, I'll grab a taser. And if that won't work, because they're going to quit kicking my dog. Well, Renita's dog, I don't have a dog. But you know what I'm saying, right? Right? Hallelujah. So we have to be that way with our thoughts. But if you've got your Bibles, turn to John chapter 4. And this is kind of the cornerstone verse that we're talking about. In John chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, the hour is coming and now is. Amen. When is that hour? Now. Right now, today. That the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Come on. We call this a worship service, and we pray that that's what it is. But worship is a choice. And worship is a thing of your heart. It's a thing of my heart. Have you ever been in a worship service where everybody is just lost in the spirit and you're getting nothing? Right? I've been there, right? But the reality is that I've let other thoughts get in and I didn't put myself into worship. Right? Let me tell you a story, and I've told this story before, but a man, his name was Jamie Buckingham, and he wrote with David Wilkerson, The Cross and the Switchblade, and he's gone on to be with heaven. But that was back in the day when Full Gospel Businessmen was a big thing. And that was where businessmen were there, and they'd have speakers come in, and they'd have testimonies. And he was at one of these meetings, and it happened to be in like this retirement community in Florida. And, you know, they usually had somebody sing a few songs during the meeting. And so they had these three guys get up and do worship. And one had like a guitar and one had a violin and one had a ukulele or something. And he said they were all playing different chords at different times. You know, and it was like he was going, oh, God, can this stop? Can we just stop this? And then he heard that voice that comes on the inside that he said, Jamie, what do you think of this worship? God was speaking to him. Jamie, what do you think of this worship? And he knew he was in trouble, right? But he knew he was in trouble. He said, God, I got to be honest with you. It's awful. And the Lord spoke to him and said, Jamie, I love it because they're worshiping me with all of their hearts. See, those that come to worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We've said many things, but today I want to focus on this. True worship always costs you something. It's going to cost you your time. It's going to cost you maybe something that you want to do, something that, you know, or maybe doing something you don't want to do. True worship is always going to cost something. And we looked at Abraham, and the first place that worship was talked about, and in that worship, he had to lift up the son of promise, put him on an altar, tie him up, put a fire, you know, wood underneath him, lift his knife up and be ready to stab him. And that was worship. I've not been asked to do that yet. My son and my daughter, they're very grateful, right? But worship costs something. And today I want to talk to you, and we started to develop this last week, but the Lord spoke to me and said that worship and fear of the Lord are in the same category. Right? In fact, the fear of the Lord can be spoken of as motivated out of true worship. Because worship recognizes who He is. Right? True worship says, you're in charge, you're in control, you're the great one, you're the awesome God, you're Jehovah Jireh, you're Jehovah Rapha, and I want to put you in your place, Lord, so I want to lower myself under your care because I want to worship you. I want to worship you. And if you go to Proverbs in the first chapter, we're going to look at some things today. And just understand that it's easy to worship other things. And one of the things over and over throughout the Bible got Israel in trouble over and over and over again is that they began to worship idols. Now, you think, yeah, but we don't have a statue. We don't have this or we don't have that. But a worship or an idol is anything that you place above Him. Right? And it's easy to place yourself above Him. Right? And I'm not picking on anybody because, you know, when a preacher preaches and he just has one hand, one finger at you, that means he's got three back at him. So it's really true. But it's like when we start feeling sorry for ourselves, when we start saying, oh God, this isn't fair. You've probably never been there. I've been there before. I don't understand, God. Listen, what we're doing is we're saying, my worth and my value and my importance is above yours. And that's idolatry. Oh, aren't you glad you came this morning? But watch this. Watch this. God wants us to get back to the place where He's first place. He's the beginning and the end and the middle and everything in between. And true worship comes before Him. And worship means, in the Greek, it means to kneel down and put your head against the ground. And at the same time, or previous, kissing the hand of the person that you're worshiping. Wow, that's something. So we don't necessarily have to do that physically, but in our heart, we have to bow before Him. We have to yield to Him. God, my life isn't about me anymore because I was crucified with Christ. That means when I accepted Jesus, I died. And that's where true worship can come because our worship is based on the covenant that we have with Him. And that covenant is that He took my place. And so I'm now standing in His place. So I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. If you look at Proverbs, and again we said the fear of the Lord, what does that mean? That means the reverential awe of God. I'll tell you what it means too. It means fear. It means to be afraid, watch this, to go against God. It means to be afraid of offending God. It means to be afraid of not doing what He wants you to do. Aren't you glad for His mercy? Right? Because none of us are perfect. We all miss it. But the fear of the Lord puts us in a place where we're motivated to do what He wants us to do. I'm talking about worship, but I'm also talking about the fear of the Lord. Now, let's look through Proverbs, and I'm not going to get to all of them, but I'll look at a few verses today about worship. In verse 7 of the first proverb, it says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." You see, if God is not the center of everything, then your learning is in vain. If the fear of the Lord is not the beginning of everything that you do and everything that you say and everything that you are, then you're in trouble. Right? I was so smart that before I got saved, that, you know, I grew up in a church and I'd actually talked to God and I felt like I had God talk to me, but I tried to become a priest and they wouldn't let me, so I said, "God doesn't want me," and party and I went. I did. Right, my teenage years and whatever. I did. But I was arrested by God. But before I got arrested by God, I started watching some really intelligent shows. Leonard Nimoy, In Search Of. And I watched this one episode, I'll never forget it. He said, all of those saints, and you know the pictures of these, you see saints, we don't really have them in the Bible today, our Bibles today, but you remember those old family Bibles that had all the pictures in them? All us old people are going, yeah, we remember them. You know, but in the Old Testament, you'd see a saint or an angel, and you'd see this glow around their head. And what he said is that actually those were aliens, and that was just like their space helmet that you know. And I went, well, you know, that makes sense. You see, I left the fear of God, got into my own intellect, and I became a fool. The Bible says, watch this, the Bible says that he who says there is no God is a fool. Why? Because the fear of the Lord, or the reverential awe of God, is the beginning of everything. Let me just share a verse with you. It's in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. It says, watch this. It's, you know, he's taking over my time. Watch this now. It says this. It says that everything you do, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but everything you do, everything you say, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the same thing as this is. The fear of the Lord means that everything I say, everything I do has to be in Him. Now, I'm not living in an ivory tower, but I'm telling you that in our lives, if we'll begin to wash our decisions and our starting point will be the fear of the Lord, right? Our starting point will be the fear of the Lord, then our lives will be governed more closely to what His will is. Let me say that one more time. If we'll govern our lives by the fear of the Lord, and every decision will wash through it, then our lives will be led in such a way that it's clear and in His will. Right? Just try this. Lord, I just want to worship You. I'm going to go look at 4 hours of pornography, but I want to worship You before I do it. Right? Or, Lord, I really, I'm going to tell a lie here because it's going to get me out of trouble. And I'm going to be deceptive, but let me worship You a few minutes before I do it. Lord, I, that woman You gave me, Lord, I'm just going to dump her, right? But I'm going to do it in the name of Jesus, right? No. 1,000 times no. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all instruction, all wisdom, all learning. God, You're in Your first place. You see, if you truly made Jesus the Lord of your life, that means that He's Lord. He's Master. What's my opinion? I don't have one. What's my opinion? It's Him. How many are, you just say this because I deal with it, have the fear of man? Oh, nobody does. I do sometimes, right? I care about what other people think of me. I care about what other people say about me. I care about those things. But in reality, watch this. That's because I put myself in a place of importance and I haven't really yielded to the fear of God. Because I learned a long time ago that I don't have a reputation. I don't. It's His reputation. I want my life to be lived in such a way that His reputation is on the line, not mine. So when I pray in faith, I'm saying, Lord, I'm doing what Your word says. My reputation is not on the line, but Yours is. You see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of everything. Go to chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom from His mouth and knowledge and understanding. See, without true worship, watch this, without true worship, you won't be in a position to hear. Come on, you know it's true. You don't truly hear somebody unless you want to hear them. How many have ever been in a situation where somebody is speaking and all you hear is blah, 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 blah. It's because you don't respect and honor them the way that's probably necessary. And some people are just going, wow, 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 right? I mean, talking heads. I mean, there are circumstances, but God is never that way. And we have to place ourselves in a position daily, hourly, minute by minute, where worship and fear of the Lord is our motivation. Some say, well, that you just can't practically do that. Yes, you can. If you get in the habit of doing it, if you get in the habit of washing your thoughts through the fear of the Lord and the worship of the Lord, it will change things. I want to get really angry right now, God. But Your word says, and if Your word says, I'm going to go by Your word rather than what I feel. Right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the knowledge of God. If I put myself in this position, God, now this seems so stupid, but the reality of it is so evident. It's like, God, You're always right. I have an opinion, and I want to let You know what I think is fair and what You should have done and what should have happened. And Lord, I prayed and this didn't happen. But God, the fear of the Lord says, You're always right. That's my starting point. So if I don't understand, then I'm going to seek you more because I want to know what your opinion is. And if I find out that your opinion is different than my opinion, then guess what? My opinion is going to change. Come on, that's the beginning point where you can understand who God is. Right? All of us who've been saved for any amount of time, and a lot of you have come to this church for a long time, you've grown up with the traditions that I believe in, that I speak from, and that I hold true and dear to my heart. And I believe that they come from the Word of God, but there is the possibility that I could be wrong. See, I've grown up and I've seen preachers and I've seen ministries and I've seen movements where they begin to make the pastor or the leader an idol, and anything that he preaches is right. And then things happen like Jim Jones. Right? So what I'm saying is this. Is that the beginning of instruction, at the end of instruction, is our responsibility to find out what God is saying. And what has God said? And does that line up with the Word? And if it doesn't, then I'm changing my mind. And I hope this doesn't offend anybody. If it does, forgive me, I don't mean it as such. But I've had people come through over the years who've said, you know, it's really not good that you're worshiping on this day. You should worship on this day. Right? And so in looking at that, I don't just dismiss that and go, you don't know what you're talking about. I take that before the Lord and I get into the Word of God and I find out and I make sure that I'm standing on the right position. Because if I'm not, watch this, if I'm not, I'm going to get into the right position and do what He wants me to do. Right? I'm not pointing out anybody because they didn't come to the church very long, but there was a person who came and I'm forget what's the thing that you put over your head to pray? What's that? The prayer shawl. Yeah, the prayer shawl. She was of the opinion that before we sent the kids back, we had to go to them and put the prayer shawl on and pray over them in order for them to go back. And I said, I don't think so. Jesus is my covering. The name of Jesus is my covering. You know, and so, but watch this. If I would have found in the Word of God that that was true, and if I would have changed who I was and became what she wanted me to be because that's what God said, because I fear the Lord more than I do myself and my dogma, are you getting it? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of everything. Now look at the 8th chapter. Why am I saying all this? And what's my motivation for this whole series? My motivation is that I want us to become better worshipers. Why? Why do I want us? Because I'm truly convinced that God has more for us than we've ever experienced. I've read in the past and of places where God's presence was so tangible that people either came in and fell on their faces before God or they ran in terror because they couldn't stand the conviction. I can't make that happen on my own. But I can seek God for that. Why? Because, now listen to me, we aren't winning the world by what we're doing. We're not winning the lost the way we're going. And my heart is beginning to cry out for those that I know and those that I don't know, those that are strung out on drugs, those that we see on the corner, but also those in the... Do you understand that the things happen in our country that it's like we just brush over, but our heart should be grieved about them? I'm thinking about the child trafficking that happens every day, everywhere. Why? Because the God of this world has put the lust inside of men and women that cause that to be a commodity that people need. I want to make a difference in that, but it needs to be under the anointing of God and the power of God to get them to change. We're not going to change society by having picket signs. But if the glory of God comes and invades, I've seen in the past where revival changes communities, changes everything. And so, what is my motivation? Is to put us back in the place where we're truly seeking after God, His ways, His motives, and we're willing to do whatever it takes to get there. Faith is a big part of that, but also surrender is a big part of that. Hallelujah. Chapter 8 of the Proverbs and verse 13 says this, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth, hate." Now, again, we know that that doesn't mean that you hate the person, but it means that you really begin to hate what that sin is doing to people. Right. I listened to, some of you will know this name, some won't, but Leonard Ravenhill, I got on YouTube and I listened. In fact, his son David used to pastor the vineyard in Gig Harbor years ago. But I listened to David Ravenhill and he said, you know, he said, it so put me under conviction. He said, listen, we're after the Holy Spirit to bring us joy, to bring us laughter, and all of those things are okay. He said, but when is the last time that you got in the spirit of weeping and grieving in the spirit? I'm not putting anything heavy on you. I'm talking about what's going on inside of me and why worship is so important and are yielding our lives to Him and saying, Lord, I want it Your way and not my way. Worship, true worship. True worship is to hate evil. What's evil? Whatever God says is evil. Not my opinion, not your opinion, not what's popular what God says is evil. And we could go, yeah, God really hates this sin and God really hates that sin. But when is the last time that we hated gossip? I'll just say this, and again, this is for me, it's not for you, but take it if it applies. I find myself talking more about people than I do about anything else. Now watch this, it's not wrong to talk about people, but it's easy to slip that into gossip. It's so easy to slip into the place where you're looking at them to make yourself look better. Did you hear what they did? I'd never do that. Right? Look at how bad they are. But the fear of the Lord hates gossip. The fear of the Lord hates murmuring, hates complaining, hates jealousy, hates envy, hates all of those things. And what I'm saying is if we're going to really start to worship God and truly worship God, we have to get back to the place where that's what we hate and quit tolerating what God hates in our lives. And this might wreck everything for me, but I'm willing to wreck everything because I need the power of God to set people free. Right? I'm just on a quest. You know, when I got saved and before I got saved, I smoked pot every day. I smoked pot at work. I smoked pot at home. I smoked pot on the way to work, on the way back from work, before I went to my mother-in-law's house, and after I went, everywhere. That was just me. And I drank a lot of alcohol. But when I got saved, I didn't do it again. And I've got a pretty good track record. That's been a lot of years ago, right? So what am I saying? I'm saying that when we get saved and we're walking in the fear of the Lord, it has the capacity to change us from the inside out. And I'm not putting my position on you. What I'm saying is I want to create an atmosphere where that's possible for people. Right? Aren't you tired of your loved ones being controlled by the devil for years and years and years and years and years that go on? Well, the fear of the Lord is to hate that and not attack them, but attack him, the devil. And part of that is worshiping God and walking in the fear of the Lord. Go to chapter 9. And I'll just say this. I have people under my care that have suffered with things that I just can't say any other way. That it may not be a demon necessarily, but it's demonic in nature. See, because the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy. God comes that he might have life and have it abundantly. I know a lot of people that aren't walking in abundant life, and I'm not talking about physical manifestation or prosperity. What I'm talking about is freedom in their minds, freedom in their hearts. They're tormented every day. Tormented every day. And I'm sick of it. And I think that my lack of truly worshiping God has not put me in the best position where I could help them. That's just me, though. I'm just telling you me. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me, wisdom, your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. How many of the Bible says that with long life will I satisfy you? I don't believe that means with long life you're going to lose your mind, you're going to be physically tormented, and it says with long life I will satisfy you. In other words, your life will have purpose every day of your life. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of that. It's the motivation for that. Go to chapter 10. It basically says the same thing in verse 27. It says, the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. I want to worship God. Worshiping God is good for your life. It's good for your quality of your life and the longevity of your life. Look at chapter 14. Chapter 14 and verse 26 says this. It says, In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and His children will have a place of refuge. See, when you're true worship of the Lord and you're truly fearing Him, then you have confidence. How many Christians have I known that when death comes upon them and that they're death's door, they're afraid, they're scared, they're worried, they're... When in essence it should be, woohoo! Right? Come on. I'm putting off this old, you know, mobile home that I've been living in, and I'm going to be with Him face to face in a few days, a few moments, a few seconds. We have to put Him in His proper place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 27, it says, the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, to turn away from the snares of death. Come on, worship and fear of the Lord will keep you safe, will keep you where you are. I'm just going to go through some of these. The fear of the Lord in chapter 16, verse 6, is depart from evil. In the 19th Proverbs, in the 23rd verse, the fear of the Lord leads us toward life and satisfaction. You'll never be truly satisfied until worship is your primary thing, until the fear of the Lord is your primary thing. Why? Because, well, let me just say this as holy as I can. Sometimes life sucks. Right? And the people that were around drag us down into the mire of their situation, rather than worship being our first place, which would lift them up into ours. Glory to God. Humility in chapter 22 and verse 4 says, humility and fear of the Lord brings riches and honor. God will bless you if you worship Him. God's your answer. Did you know that? What's your problem? I don't know, but God's your answer. Right? Yeah, but you don't understand what I'm going through. No, I don't, and I don't really have the answer for you. But let's worship Him together because He is the answer. Your answer may not come today or tomorrow, but if you'll be in His presence, He'll give you peace and satisfaction in the midst of whatever you're going through. True worship, watch this, true worship is a place where you can pour your guts out to God and know that He's not offended by that. Right? God, where are You? I don't feel You, but I know that You're here. And even when I don't want to, God, I'm going to worship You anyway. I'll never forget the day that I was driving along. And, you know, it's one of those moments that you can still see as you talk about it. And there was something that the potential for disaster was at my door. And the enemy was just screaming at me. You're going to go down. You're going to lose it all. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. And I said, Lord, and I don't understand what's going on, but I'll praise You forever and ever and ever. If they take everything from me, God, I'll praise You. And wherever I am, God, I will worship You. And Lord, I will be one who's used by You no matter what the circumstances are. I'll never blame You and I'll never back off from You, because I'm going to worship You when it doesn't seem like worship is the thing that I should do. And you know what? He delivered me from that. He gave me verses of Scripture to stand on. One of them, the main one, was in Isaiah 43 and verse 10. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be thou not dismayed, for I am thy God. Right? I will uphold thee with my righteous right hand. He said, listen, to all of those who are incensed against you shall be as nothing, a non-existent thing. You'll look for them and you'll not find them. It happened just that way. Just that way. God is so good. In Isaiah 33 and verse 6, it says, the fear of the Lord will be the stability in our times? How many know that the world has gone crazy? Absolutely nuts. And it shouldn't be a surprise to us, because it says in the last day that they'll call the things that are evil good and the things that are good evil. And that's where we're living. But our place of stability is in the fear of the Lord and the worship of Him. Hallelujah. But go with me to Malachi. I've got to close, but go with me to Malachi. And if you don't know where that is, go to Matthew and back one chapter, one book. Malachi chapter 3. In verse 16. It says, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him, and those who fear the Lord and those who meditate on His name." This is so awesome. I love this verse because it says this. It says again, "Those who feared the Lord spoke to one another." It's really amazing if you can find some friends who truly worship the Lord and fear Him. Why? Because when you're not feeling it, they can bring you up. Right? When you want to have a pity party, they can say, "I don't think so. Let's worship Him. I don't want to worship Him." Well, we're going to worship Him anyway. What does that look like? What does worship look like? Sometimes you're driving in your car and you just, not both hands, but you lift your hands to the Lord, or you lift your heart to the Lord and just say, "Lord, I worship You. I worship You." It's not about your feelings. It's about putting your mind into the place. "God, I just want to worship You. I'm so grateful for You. You've been so good to me. You've been with me. God, if You didn't do another thing for me, my worship will be forever and ever in Your presence. I just want to worship You. I want to worship You. I want to worship You. I want to worship You." I am not at this level, but I was listening to a man who had a chance to be around, I think it was Tozer. And Tozer told him, "Well, every time you're in Chicago, I want you to come by my house." Right? And he found out that from 6 in the morning, every day, 6 in the morning to 10 in the morning, he worshiped the Lord. How is that possible? 4 hours, not just one day, not on a special day, but every day he worshiped the Lord. And he said, "I worship the Lord for 4 hours every day, but most days I don't say much. Because I just want to be in His presence. So I just believe that He's here with me. And so I just tell Him I love Him and I worship Him, that I want to yield my life before Him. And God, anything that You tell me to do, I'll do. Even if it doesn't feel good, even if it doesn't look, Lord, I'll do what You want me to do." You see, I think that that's the kind of person that it's going to be required for God to begin to use, is one that's abandoned to Him completely. Hallelujah. But if we'll get to the place where worship will become our mainstay, then God can use us individually and collectively, like we're doing the love feast. Yeah. We're not doing that to get butts in the seat. That's probably not the right way to say it, but to get butts in the seat. But we're doing that to give people a chance to encounter the presence of God. That's our motivation. So why are we worshiping God? Well, because He deserves it. Why are we walking in the fear of the Lord? Because it's the right thing to do. But our motivation is, "Lord, I'm on my way to heaven because I'm saved. I believe. But Lord, there's a lot of folks that I know that aren't. I come from a large family, and there's several of them that I don't know if they died today whether they'd be in heaven or not. It doesn't break my heart enough yet. But I want to get to that place. But if we get to the place of worship, God will begin to start speaking to us. He'll take care. If you'll concentrate on Him, He'll take care of you. He'll pay your bills. He'll heal your body. He'll heal your mind. He'll do everything for you. I believe He'll save our loved ones. I believe He'll deliver those that we've been kind of praying for over the years. But we have to get back to the place of true, solemn worship before God. And then if we'll do that at home and we come in here and we won't allow for anything else, I just see it as the potential. I could come up with another program. We could have another this seminar or that seminar, and all of those things are good. They're valuable. But what I want more than anything is His presence. And worship is the key to that. Did y'all get something? Hallelujah. I don't know if that'll be the end of the worship or not for the series. But if you're here or you're watching online and you have not listened to every one of these, I'm not saying this because of me, but I'm saying this because I know that it's been anointed of God and that God wants us to walk with Him in this way. Surrendered, but also confident that He's with us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word today. I thank You for everybody that's viewing online. Lord, I thank You for being with them, for touching them. Lord, You're the healer. Jesus, You're the healer. You sent Your Word and healed us, Lord, and I think that means in every way. When You were here on the earth, the Bible records that You made them whole. And Lord, I'm praying right now for those that are watching online. They're fighting in any area, God, that You would make them whole this morning. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray and I worship You and I honor You and I ask You, God, to just speak into our hearts in a way that will change us forever. And Lord, there are some in here this morning that have needs from You, God. They need a touch in their heart. They need a touch in their mind. They need a touch in their body. I'm just asking You to do it right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life and you're watching online, I just ask you to just, if you can, get on your knees before God. Or maybe you walked with Him once but aren't walking with Him now. And just get on your knees before God and say, God, I surrender. I don't know how You're going to do it or how You could even use somebody like me, but if you'll worship Him and get on your knees before Him, He'll change your life. I know it's true because He did it for me. Father, just bless the folks that are watching online. We give You all the glory. Thank You for watching in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If I could have the